This is Fresh Air. I'm Dave Davies, filling in for Terry Gross. The buzz in the literary world at the moment is about a 900-page epic crime novel set in modern-day India. It's called Sacred Games, and its author is Vikram Chandra. Book critic Maureen Corrigan has a review.
Although it seems as though everybody still wants to write a novel, fewer Americans want to read one, at least serious ones. According to the oft-cited study, Reading at Risk, which was published by the National Endowment for the Arts in 2004, the number of Americans who read literary fiction for pleasure is fast approaching the number of adults who opt for elective tracheotomies. That's my nightmare take on the future of literature on especially glum days. But then along comes a bold, fresh, and big, really big, novel like Vikram Chandra's Sacred Games, and all those pessimistic predictions vanish. Sacred Games is a 900-page novel about contemporary India that comes complete with a selected glossary of terms for us non-Indian readers, as well as with a helpful reminder list at the beginning of the book of who's who among the many major characters, such as you usually find in the front of a novel by Tolstoy or Agatha Christie. That odd couple comparison is apt because Sacred Games has the sweep and social commentary of the great 19th century epic novels, yet it also toys with a crime fiction plot. It cheers me up that in this age of waning attention spans and apparently waning interest in literature, Chandra didn't take the safer route and say, produce a slim work of fiction about relationships. Instead, he's gone ahead and written a doorstopper of a challenging urban novel. And best of all, not only does Sacred Games deserve praise for its ambitions, but also for its terrific achievement. Maybe literature as a pastime is sinking under the tide of technology. If so, Sacred Games, given its size and buoyancy, makes an excellent life raft for those folks determined to hold on to the pleasures of sustained reading. In brief, Sacred Games tells the intertwined stories of Inspector Sartaj Singh, who's set apart because he's a lone Sikh serving on the police force of Mumbai, also known as Bombay, and Ganesh, a Hindu crime lord. In a slapstick confrontation in Chapter 2 of the novel, Sartaj is tipped off that Ganesh is hiding out in a certain factory district of Bombay. When Sartaj arrives at the address, he's stunned to see a building, a solid white windowless cube that we later learn is a nuclear fallout shelter Ganesh had commissioned to be built in a record 10 days. The cube is equipped with a speaker box through which Ganesh, hiding inside, taunts Sartaj. The question is, how are you going to get in? Abruptly after Ganesh issues that challenge, the tone of the scene changes and he fatally shoots himself in the head. How are you going to get in? That question, the windowless cube, of course they're hulking metaphors for the mystery of Ganesh and his odd suicide that Sartaj sets out to solve. Sartaj is in his 40s, divorced, and afflicted, as he admits to himself, with a kida, an Indian word that literally means a worm and figuratively means an inexplicable stubbornness, an obsession. Sartaj's obsession takes him all over Bombay and environs, from Bangladeshi slum neighborhoods to Bollywood penthouses. The tales within tales here carry us readers back into India's recent history and take us into detours through the life stories of minor characters like Ganesh's holy man father and the professional street pickpockets who Sartaj questions. The form of this constantly surprising novel also morphs into different shapes. Sometimes it's pared down, action-driven. At other times, the language is meditative. Here, for instance, is a passage where Sartaj's love interest, a woman named Mary, thinks about the violent death of her sister. For a month, she had walked around with a reeling heart, feeling dizzy through the day. Then finally the knowledge had settled in, became part of the structure of the new world. That's how it was when you confronted something impossible. At first there was nausea, a loss of all landmarks. Your own home became a hostile borderland. And then one day you knew that this raw wasteland, this garish alien light, was your home. You just had to have patience and will enough to survive the first terrors. The test of a teeming narrative like this is its end. Unlike the ordered universe of the great 19th century Russian and British novelists, all the storylines here don't converge in one big pleasing click of coincidence. This is modern India, after all, chaotic, beautiful, on the move. Sacred Games ends in many disparate clicks and some deliberately dangling threads. But here's one crucial experience Chandra's novel does offer in common with its sprawling 19th century forebears. When, as a reader, you reach the last page of Sacred Games, you feel as though you've been expelled from a world that, over weeks of reading, has come to feel like a second home.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University, and her memoir, Leave Me Alone, I'm Reading, is now out in paperback. She reviewed Sacred Games by Vikram Chandra.